brothers and sisters. Today, as we look at the readings for this Sunday, I want to point out something to you. The gospel reading for today, Matthew 14:22-33, was almost the entire thing that we read this past Monday. It was Matthew 14:22-33. So, brothers and sisters, don't think I'm crazy. We're just dealing with the same gospel twice in the same week, and who knows what God might want to be doing with us, why he's allowing this. So let's take a look at all the readings for this, but particularly let's take a look at the gospel again. The first reading is a reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9a and then 11 to 13a. At the mountain of God, Horeb, Elijah came to a cave where he took shelter. And then the Lord said to him, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there came a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. See, the Lord appears so differently to many different people at different times. We can never think, oh, it's going to happen this way or it's going to happen that way. The Lord has his ways and his reasons for revealing himself. So sometimes it's not wind and earthquakes and fires. It's a tiny whispering sound. It's the quietness in which the Lord reveals himself. In all the quiet, are we opening our hearts to hear him, whether it be loud and obvious or whether it be quiet in the silence of our hearts? The responsorial psalm says, "Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth and justice shall look down from heaven. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him and prepare the way of his steps. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation." God will forgive us every sin if we bring it to him. He will forgive us in his incredible mercy. He will forgive us, but we do need to acknowledge it before him in confession. Just bring what has gone wrong in your life. Maybe you were tired, maybe you were whatever when it happened, but just tell the priest what happened. You got angry, you swore, or you banged something and frightened the children, or whatever the case may be. Just ask God's forgiveness, that's all. Don't say, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't know the effect you might have on one of your children or even on your wife or your husband or whatever the case may be. Gently. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. That's what we should be asking the Lord for every day. And the passage from 2 Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, "Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. There's the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There's the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. And we say in the Alleluia verse, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for his word. God does not fail. He doesn't come when we think it's important so much as when he knows it's important. Just be near him. I don't mean you're going to be hearing the voice of the Lord. It can be something you pick up. It can be scripture. It can be any good book that you read and you say, oh my goodness, that's me, or that's what I have trouble with. But brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of ways that the Lord will try to reach out to us. He doesn't try with the ones that are trying to hear, but he speaks to each one of us. Listen, listen. Your world is chaotic and noisy. Everybody's talking all the time. We need some time every day where we can just retire. And I know when you have small children, it's not possible. You just ask the Lord to help you and to speak to you in the midst of that situation, and he will. You are doing his will, and he will help. But when you can, and I don't mean when everything's perfect, because nothing will ever be perfect, but can you carve out, I've said this to you before, and I want to say it again, can you carve out a half hour every day for the Lord? Even 15 minutes. Though frankly, I would ask you to take an hour a day. Whatever is possible in your circumstances, 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour, take it and give it to God and ask God, as you read the scriptures, to teach you. His grace will work through his word. Doesn't mean he has to come down and speak to you every time. I think there's probably been several times, but a few several, I mean by three maybe, times in my life where I think I really have heard the Lord. And it wasn't like a voice coming down from heaven. It was just something that got so implanted, in a sense, in my mind. It was in my brain. And I knew it to be God. How did I know it? Because he was leading me on a path that I didn't want to go. And I knew it was God. And so if it was what God wanted, then I needed to want it. And I beg for the grace which he gave me. So now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And this is where we take the repetition from Monday. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After so doing, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat already a few miles offshore was being tossed by the waves, for the wind was against it, and during the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. I would be too. It is a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him in reply, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter. And he said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And after they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were with him in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Dear brothers and sisters, the fourth watch of the night, as I may have said to you on the last program, is anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you're not at your best at those hours for sure. And so this one disciple gets out of the boat and starts walking toward him. Jesus said, "Come." But then he got terrified. The wind, the waves, my goodness, you get struck by that so much. And he looked at fear. He looked at himself. And that's when he lost it. And Jesus came and saved him. But brothers and sisters, how much do we trust God? How much are we leaning on God? Not, "We'll do this and then I'll believe you," or "Do that and then I'll believe you." But, "Lord, I want your will in this situation. I'd like to see this, but your will is the perfect will. What is your will for me in this situation? Or please, Lord, let your will be accomplished in the conversation we have, or the meeting we have, or the talk that I'm giving. Let your will be accomplished. It's not about you. It's about him. He loves you. He knows where you and I, where we are every moment of every day. He knows where we are in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, and when we get ready to go to bed. He knows us. And so many times I think he would say to me, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? You of little faith." And brothers and sisters, it's true. So I took some time just to pray for greater faith. "Please, Lord, give me greater faith. Please, Lord, deepen my faith, strengthen my faith, that I don't turn away from you. Help me." You know, God hears that. He hears every word of it. And he loves you if you're genuinely seeking to him. If you genuinely are acknowledged that he is the Son of God, you're acknowledging your faith in him and you're asking for help, he will give it to you. He's a God who is good. And if sometimes you ask for something and you don't seem to get an answer, nothing ever changed, go back to him and just say, "Lord, help me to think rightly so that I can ask for what is good and true." Because sometimes we're so excited or so weighed down, we ask for something that in a way seems impossible. But when you go to him, just say, "Lord, I want to do your will. I know I do want your will. But oh, please, Lord, if it be possible, let this happen. Relative who's dying, husband or wife, whatever, brothers and sisters, trust him. Trust him." God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.